Hello, everyone. This is Sean.
And Justin.
And I probably shouldn't hesitate before saying my name, because I should know who I am.
But it's a little bit of a pregnant pause that builds the momentum and tension in the scene.
It's like, yeah, this is, well, I think we could lose people pretty quickly doing that, too.
True.
So I should probably sound a little more sure of myself. This is a good exercise, actually, for...
Good old public speaking.
Exactly. A little Toastmasters going on here.
You should say what they're listening to.
Yes, we are podcasting The Dot Matrix, as we do every few weeks, I think.
Every few weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
I love how organic it is. Like, it's sometimes 2 weeks, sometimes it's three. It's kind of how we are.
Yeah. We just do it whenever the hell we want.
Exactly. And I think we're pretty solid. This is podcast 15, right?
Mm.
And since we started in, was it December or November or whatever it was?
Yep, November.
Like, it's a solid 15 is pretty good.
We had our first practice one that we thought would be our first episode, but it didn't go too well. We were having fun, but it was just the getting the sounds and everything right, so...
We'll get it onto our deleted scenes in our DVD release at some point.
Our DVD audio release.
Right, CD.
Well, I was thinking, too, like, you know, a lot of people have mentioned to us in passing that, you know, should we film? I don't know if I'm a big fan of filming.
I'm very happy with the audio.
Yeah.
I was listening to something on the radio yesterday. It was IFCBC, which is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation here in Canada, the Radio 1, so CBC AM, on Sunday they have something called North by Northwest. It's just basically a Vancouver-based show that happens on the weekends. And
right.
They do a whole bunch of different stuff. And they were doing a piece previewing, I think, what started today, and I think it's running all week, which is sort of a... radio drama that they were producing, and no one else but the public broadcaster actually produces like fiction on radio, you know, like audio kind of audio dramas anymore.
Right.
And they play a little clip of it, and like, you know, that's old school, but that's awesome. Like,
yeah.
I like that idea. And there's like apparently on CBC's website, there's a photo slideshow that shows them, like, you know, it's basically called Swimming to China. It's a book, I guess.
Oh, I think I saw a headline on that.
Yeah, it was about sort of, you know, four athletes trying to get to China for the games and, you know, in the swimming competition. And they were interviewing the director, and they were talking about how they were in bowls of water. Their head would, you know, go into bowls of water and then sort of talk from the side, and yet, well, you get the sound of the dripping water and various different things. And I haven't gone to the slideshow yet, but I think it sounds like an interesting thing. I'm hoping they put it on a podcast, because anyway, it's 11 o'clock in the morning on a weekday, and like I'm not going to get to listen to it.
You know, do they have Radio 1 podcasts? I know they have a bunch for Radio 2.
They do, and I think there is a drama or, you know, an audio drama podcast, but they... I don't really have anything. It's not current. They sort of have something that's been on a while and they just posted, I think. So, I mean, I'll take a look, and there's a link I'll sort of post it, so.
Yeah, because, you know, like, even my favorite podcasts, like Bill Moyers and so on, like, I like listening to the audio version, because I find that when you're sitting there and you're focused, you're not really thinking about... Like, I like to listen to the podcast when I'm walking my dog, or...
Mm-hmm.
As I'm just about to fall asleep or something. And it's kind of like that lights out kind of feel, you know? Like, you're listening to the conversation. I find that you can really hone into it, you know?
Yeah.
As opposed to when we're so used to watching everything that, I don't know, I mean, sure, yeah, it's great to watch a great interview on TV, like Charlie Rose or, like, those
right.
types, but Tom Snyder was another good one. Some really
yep.
great interviews to watch. I like the idea of listening, like, even Democracy Now!, I like listening to it, because I find I'm actually thinking harder of what they're saying, maybe.
Right.
One less sense.
Yeah,
you know
you stole my thunder! I was gonna say that exact same thing, I find myself, when I listen to a Bill Moyers podcast, I mean, when I'm watching Bill Moyers' journal on PBS, I'll watch it, and I'm interested, right?
Mm.
But when I'm listening to the podcast, like, for some reason, that with that one sense not there, the visual, like, you really listen. like
listen hard, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess in sometimes I'm in circumstances where I'm like on the bus or walking in downtown or whatever I'm doing, so I make a point to really listen, which I guess is dangerous if I'm walking. But,
yeah.
But like it, you have to try to shut out some of that extra noise, right? So you can actually hear the words, because listening to a song when you're walking down the street is one thing, but listening to actual conversation or an interview, it's a very different beast that you really kind of have to concentrate on, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with, you know, a lot of, you know, hosts and guests that they have on, like, they can be quite complex in their questioning, or, you know, there's so much, like, such loaded questions, there's so much going into. Like, it seems like you can't ask a question these days without offering a big background on something.
Right.
And a lot of people are very multifaceted in their answers these days, because people are such good speakers, you know? And then there's the others that aren't good speakers, you know? And it's like, okay, it doesn't matter. But I find that when you're really sitting there and you're not thinking of anything else, you can really clue in. And I hope that something that, you know, what even if our conversation isn't entirely serious all the time, that people might be able to get that from our discussions, perhaps. I think that's the ultimate goal, maybe, you know?
Right.
You know, getting more listeners and passing it on word by mouth and online, Facebook. And hopefully people, like listening to us, they were funny, or they were hopefully thought-provoking, because we are social commentators.
We are.
And we bring up a lot of things we see and hear, and I think... But a lot of things that, are a little even more personally related to us, you know?
Right.
Which would probably bring me to my...
Your topic?
Topic for the day, which we had a little discussion going yesterday at the beach, which we'll talk about our beach fun.
Yes, that's the one of the things on my list, is talking about the beach fun.
Okay, great. Well, I have two words for you, Justin.
Okay.
I just ruined it.
You ruined it?
Recreational sports. I was going to say organized sports.
Recreational sports. Is that your topic?
That's what I'm making my topic. Sorry, I'm kind of stealing it. Maybe I've stolen it, but...
No, that wasn't... That's actually one of the things I did want to talk about at some point, or explore in some capacity. And it's funny you should bring it up, because I brought it up yesterday.
And you brought it up, and one of our friends mentioned maybe using that on the podcast.
Yes.
And I don't remember...
I think that was Vanessa.
I think Vanessa said that. Okay.
Vanessa being my sister.
Yes.
Shout out! Anyways. Sorry, I don't know why I did that.
I don't either. Yeah. But that's okay. We're here to be open and discuss viewpoints.
Yes.
And ask each other why we do such things.
I think it's totally fine to be very liberal in your shouting about.
Oh, that brings me up another topic I want to discuss later.
Okay.
If we have time, we'll...
You better write it down before you forget.
Yeah, I will write it down. Yeah, good on you.
So recreational... Well, of course, good on me. So recreational sports.
Yes. Well, you were saying that you were thinking about looking into joining a team of something fun, something casual, you know.
Right.
Getting out there, mingling.
Right.
Maybe meeting some women.
Right.
But, which is all good. And I suggested volleyball. But no, you scoff.
Like I do, right? It's a very knee-jerk reaction of scoff. I don't know. I've never been one for volleyball. I don't know. Although, the man in me and the Justin male in me, as everyone knows who knows me well, should be all over that shit, you know? Like,
absolutely.
It's volleyball, or it's beach volleyball, even more so. Like, but for some reason, it just does not... To me, it seems too... urban kits for me.
Okay.
Which is hard to say, but like that's just a way to put it very derogatorily, you know, like in a very sort of very stereotypical way. Like,
right.
I don't know, I'm kinda too modest for volleyball.
Yes.
And then I've never been into the volleyball in the gym setting with six people. Like, I don't know, I've never really found that to be my thing. Like basketball I can't do because I have noodle arms.
Yeah, I love basketball, but I suck at it.
Yeah.
I love it, though. It's so much fun, but I'm horrible.
And I can't do, as we saw at the beach, football.
Right.
We were all pretty pitiful. Well, I was particularly pitiful, but we were kind of, like, really disgraceful for guys.
Yeah, it was laughable. people.
Well, good thing
probably.
we all had our t-shirts on still. Like,
yeah,
we had taken off our t-shirts
yeah,
and tried to do something more of that.
None of that going on. It was not that hot. It was
perfect.
But no, I thought we did okay. You know, the ball got from one person to the other.
True.
In a weird kind of haphazard kind of way. But I thought it was tons of fun. And I woke up and I was kind of stiff. Like, I turned us away, and I was like, whoa, because, you know, we're all kind of jumping at it and throwing, like, using muscles we probably don't use ever.
Right.
So that's why we have to do that again sometime soon.
Sorry, but I made you digress away
from...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we should talk about something else, too. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, let's keep
Rex.
The topics going. I think, well, if not volleyball, another friend of ours mentioned badminton. I thought, well, I don't really... Badminton, I mean, you might as well go towards, like, table tennis. You know what I mean? Like, and do you really want to do that? I don't think so. So I was thinking, if not volleyball, then what strikes your fancy for meeting people, and especially
you
girls?
Know, you know, and I think, I mean, the girl component of it is obviously a primary one in some degree, but it was not really the impetus about why I thought about it, you know? Although, you know, we keep saying that, you know, we should go out in the town, do more stuff, which we should do.
Absolutely.
And this is a part of that. But... I mean, the story goes, as I was saying to you yesterday, was that I was on the bus on the way to see my dad, just going along. The bus passes by a school where there's a gigantic open field hockey field, right? Mm. And, you know, there's all these, you know, I guess girls playing field hockey in the school there, or summer or whatever, summer leagues or something. And not that I'm going to go about and do field hockey, although that's where I would meet a lot of women.
Yes.
But it made me think back to the days, and these are days that I never had. I was never part of a high school football team. You know that. I mean,
me either.
or any sort of sports league. But
yeah,
you know, maybe it's just in PE or something. Or but like, there's something about. I suddenly had this urge. I think a lot of adults have at certain points. For me, it's North American, you know, where you want to join like a baseball league or which is baseball is the one that I kept thinking about going back.
Oh,
to.
Oh yeah, we did bring that
and,
up. That looks fun.
Because I've got some talent in it, not a lot of talent, but enough, you know, and then to do something that's maybe, you know, just recreational, and although there's some standings and legal, like, there's a, for me, the idea was about getting part of a team atmosphere again, and being active, and it's about, I mean, I do a lot of team stuff or group stuff with the work that I do, I mean, I work on projects all the time and work with a bunch of different people and partners, and that has a lot of group dynamic, but not in a very recreational sense or in a fun sense, and something where you are all, although you may all have the similar skill level and not that great at that to begin with, but you have a goal of trying to win a game or trying to get into that playoffs or something.
Yes.
And like my brother does hockey. I mean, he
yes.
does ice hockey. And, well, one, I don't have the skills for that, and two, it's expensive, you know, like, to have all the equipment and stuff.
It is.
And so I haven't quite figured it out, and I kind of feel that it's something that's more outdoorsy than indoorsy, maybe something down the road, you know, indoors in the winter. Like, I was thinking, I wanted to try my hand at curling. I think that would be a little bit of fun.
We've talked about that for years
now.
Yeah,
and we really should just go out and, you know, try it.
Why don't we?
I don't know.
Well,
let's
we
do
bocce ball. I mean, what's the difference?
Yeah.
I mean, same kind of principles,
right?
Like, and, it's just on ice.
And it's got to be beginner's leagues in the for adults, you know? Like, just to give it a try.
Sounds fun.
And that's why sort of I've ruled out badminton, or although tennis, I think, oh, you know, I think we should play tennis before the summer's out, to be honest.
Absolutely.
But it's not, you don't get the same sort of team feel in pairs, you know? Like, it's got to be something where there's four people or five or six, you know? Like...
Yeah.
You know, you're part of a larger team.
That's true.
And
that's
it's something that, I don't know, for some reason I started to pine for. You know, not really pine in terms of, but it's something started to feel inside of me going, you know, yeah, you know?
Yeah,
and I have
yeah.
no idea what it could be, and I, it's only now just in the initial stages of it.
Well, and I suggested rowing, but you said, well, that... you know, will require developing, like, the rowing skill or whatever. But,
yeah.
But, I mean, generally, this doesn't take too long.
Yeah, I guess.
And that, you're out in the water, the wind's in the hair.
True.
Girls rowing in front of you, behind you. I mean, that's pretty cool.
True. You know, I shouldn't discount rowing. That's true.
However, I heard they stopped rowing at Falls Creek.
Oh, really?
Like, for certain things, yeah. Oh, yeah, there was the Wallace Creek Rowing Club. I think they've kind of disbanded or something. So, yeah, I don't know. Well, I wish you luck in your sports endeavors.
Thank you. And well, and it made me really think about this, because I did go to the gym for the first time in 3 years, which is one of the topics I wanted to talk about. And
right.
And it reminded me about what... I mean, I know you've stopped going to the gym, and you went for a little bit in the area, and then you stopped, and
yeah.
Probably for the same reasons why I'm not terribly interested this time, although my sister's going out there and enjoying it, and trying to get back into shape, or whatever she considers getting back into shape for her.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing a lot of cardio, and I'm more of a weight person, not that I'm building muscle, but I'm building tone, I guess, and I've always
right.
done weights. And without Tara being around, it's no fun. And with my sister doing something else, and I see my sister all the time. I mean, we live together, so it's not as if going to the gym is a reason for us to hang out. Like, we hang out all the time, right?
Right.
So, but so there isn't someone to go to the gym with that I wouldn't see otherwise, or you know. And I told our friend Cheryl that I want to go to the Y with her and see maybe she could be my new gym buddy. Who knows?
Nice.
But I'm not quite sure whether or not she focuses on cardio or weights either. But anyways, so I did go to the gym for that first time. And then again, realizing how isolating it is and how individual it is, it again reminded me about the whole idea around recreational sports and doing something like that. And I know Vanessa sort of directed me to something called urbanrec.ca, which is sort of they do a lot of sports leagues and stuff. But it sounds like, again, it's very much based on the social aspect. Again,
which is cool.
Which is cool and great. But... For some reason, I want to be part of one of those teams where, you know, let's do better than last year, or
yeah.
or we've got uniforms, or, you know, I don't know what it is, but there's something
and
very white picket fence about that, but it's something that I'm kind of curious about.
But
you know?
everyone's drawn to that in one way or another, and I totally agree, because when I did rowing for a year, and...
Right!
And
right.
I loved it, because... we had a great team, and there was something about going to the water, sun's starting to go down, you know, it's beautiful weather, you get on the water, you're with friends, and you're getting to know these people a bit more, because I worked with all these people, and it's just kind of a moment in all of your lives where you're, without getting too deep about it, but, you know...
Too late,
it's already happening. You know, you're there, and... After, you know, a row or practice or whatever, then, you know, you go out to the bar or whatever and you have dinner. Because you're always so hungry, you know.
Yes.
You get the biggest appetite after rowing. Like, nothing else, I find. And then you go and you hang out more and then you go to the next practice and it just keeps on going. And exactly what you were saying, like, you want to do better and better and
yep.
you share lots of laughs and you just talk about whatever... brings you guys together, and it's such a great thing. And that's why it's fun being in bands, too, right? Like, you
right.
make a record, play some shows, and you're like, you try to get better, and we have a great show, it's a good collective environment, you know? It's cool.
Yeah.
So I totally think that would be fun for you.
And I think that's it. It's that doing something collectively for a purpose that is...
Bigger than
work, you know? And it's
oh,
recreational,
yeah.
It feeds your passion.
Yeah.
So I guess it all comes back to that passion thing, you know?
Oh, absolutely. No, I think
yeah.
that's a great idea, Justin.
Well, I'm glad my conversation with you yesterday sparked this further conversation today.
Well, yeah, well, I was thinking about it, and I just thought, okay, well, that's a little interesting, you know, because it's something that I think everyone out there can have thoughts on, and it's not like a... current event, or it's
right.
it's something that, you know, like, I thought, oh, what current events are we going to talk about? And I thought, no, let's...
Something our friend Josie, who is now on podcast 3, she told me yesterday,
oh,
can get to eventually, months down the road, when she gets to podcast 15.
Right on.
And she won't feel left behind.
That is great.
Because we're not talking about something that happened 6 months ago.
Well, Josie, I hope you're enjoying them, and I guess at some point you'll hear me saying that.
If you do, you should send both Sean and I an email right away to let us know that you've heard that.
And then we'll know when you listen, or
to
when you got to number 15.
15. But I should have told her that, you know, there isn't a need to go through it one by one. I mean, maybe the first couple to see how we're going, but then you can just pick and choose whichever one interests you, you know?
You can, and, you know, I talked about it with her, too, and I kind of touched on that where, I mean, it might be more strategic to listen to all of them from the first one to the latest, but it isn't totally necessary. Because, you know, it's kind of like...
It's
not a serial drama, yet you do hear times when we've heard it other things in the past, but it's not as crucial as, say, like, a repeated character in an Agatha Christie novel or something.
Right.
You know, or, you know, Sherlock Holmes or something. It's not like that, but...
Speaking about characters, I will change topics for just a second.
Yes.
And this is, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I thought it was worth mentioning the passing of Estelle Getty.
Right. That's a big thing in our lives.
Yeah, well... well, actually, what after she passed... And she passed passed away after years of suffering through Lewy body disease, and it's a very specific dementia.
Really?
That is very rare. I mean, as the story goes, she was diagnosed with Parkinson's and then realized that the diagnosis was false, that it wasn't Parkinson's, it was another kind of degenerative dementia. And then I found out a colleague of mine, her father had that same disease.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'd never heard.
Is it rare?
It's
not really.
It's fairly rare. I mean, as rare as, you know, any kind of degenerative dementia disease is, right? I mean, it's not too common, but it's, you know, people suffer from it. But when I heard, obviously, my sister, she found it online and she sends me the link right away that day.
And
it's
sent
it to you, and then our friend Kevin calls me, and to provide his condolences to me on the passing of Estelle Getty, which I thought was really kind and really sweet. And that's Kev, you know, he's awesome that way. But then I thought, how funny how some of my friends think so clearly of a link between Golden Girls and myself that they would feel that it would be important to call me to provide condolences when an actress dies from that show. I just thought it was sad but funny at the same time.
It is. Yeah, you know, she was such a comedic talent, and you know, I think after what 20, you know, 15 years after the show ended, people are starting to come back to it and realize that. I mean, the fans of the show who watched it at the time, like ourselves when we were young, we got it, you know? And we laughed and laughed and laughed. It was like our favorite sitcom ever. And, you know...
And I'll say it again. My comedic sensibility is because of that show.
Oh.
It really is.
Oh, my
All
goodness.
My stupid one-liners from yesterday at the beach, all Golden Girls,
all
I'm sure.
That show. and that's the thing. You know, people are starting to realize that, yeah, those ladies were funny, you know?
And those, their clothes was horrendous.
Their clothes was horrendous. I'm sure they'd agree. Anyone looks back in the mid '80s to early '90s, like, ooh, my goodness, what were we wearing? But yeah, no, that's sad, and it's funny because a lot of people thought she was the youngest, but actually Rue McClanahan was younger than her.
Yes, yeah.
But the other two were actually older than her by a few
years.
And wow, they're all getting on like really old.
Well, and I love the fact that after she passed, you were able to read a little bit about her story and how unique it was around sort of career, like just exploding very late in a professional career, and what that meant for an actress. I thought that was a pretty cool thing to be able to read about and to just sort of live for a moment and appreciate that. And then I thought about, like, Betty White was on Million Dollar Password or whatever it was recently, and I never saw it, but I've seen her on various different things of late. Either it's an interview entertainment show or it's a guest appearance on such and such a show. But, like, yeah, I mean, Betty White is getting on in years, but she is really sharp.
Still sharp,
like,
huh?
Like, I was saying to my sister, I said, you know, when and inevitably, you know, she will sort of not be around, they should really study her brain or pickle it or whatever you do to preserve it. Like there's some real gems in there, but it's like to be that, you know, older in life, but to have such a sharp mind and a sharp wit still, like, gee, just has all these one-liners back. And when I hear like sitting on like the Ellen DeGeneres show or whatever, like, you know, like it's pretty impressive how sharp she is. It's pretty good.
No, good on her. It's great. And it's really cool, you know, because especially what you were saying about Estelle Getty, like, really finding her stride, like later on, it just goes to show, you know, like, we don't have to all just prove ourselves in our 20s and then hope to live up to that, you know?
Right.
We can do it in our 30s, 40s, 50s. I mean, look how many times people change career these days.
Yeah.
No one spends more than 5 years doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't. And I'm closer to that, though, than getting a new job every year or something. But,
right.
But, you know, it's just like, wow, yeah. Like, it's really cool to see. And when you look back, it's like, well, yeah, a lot of people had careers that they were still going strong in, like, their 80s and 90s and stuff, like old composers. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, people were still taking them seriously when they're 80 or 90. But I think it just comes down to, like, you know, like, the later half of the last century, it's like the emphasis was always on the young, the young, the young. And now we're
right.
coming back to realizing that people can do great things and probably their best stuff, like, as they approach middle age or
right.
around that. And I think it's really cool. Like, hopefully, you know, that lets people kind of relax a bit about having to be, you know, everything they can be at a certain point in their lives, you know?
Right.
So, that's what I got out of it.
Yeah.
Again, if that was too deep, I apologize. Wow.
I was going to say...
Oh, no.
I was going to say...
Oh.
You can never go too deep, and then you're supposed to say, and that's what she said.
I know, and I'm never that quick. Elaine is really quick on that. She's been saying, that's what she says, like, all the time. It's hilarious.
Oh.
She's actually very quick with that. But, yeah, we'll need to get some of that kind of really quick banter going back and forth.
Right. Well, the one thing, it's funny you should say that point around sort of, you know, age and sort of kicking it old school, so to speak, in
yeah.
a way to summarize what you said in
yeah.
a way that's totally not descriptive at all. Because my other
True.
Topic was... sorry, I couldn't think of anything else to say. But this is a really tried and tired segue, or not tired, but just awkward segue into this new topic, which is Dr. Horrible. Have you heard of that?
Dr. Horrible?
Dr. Horrible.
Oh, I have. Apparently,
Elaine says
I have.
Yeah.
It's ringing a bell, but I'm...
Yeah, I read, like, Vanessa gets Entertainment Weekly subscription, and so she's kind enough, when she's read it, lets me kind of flip through it. And there was this article about this web blog, basic video blog, that was done by the creator from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Joss Whedon.
Okay.
And Neil Patrick Harris from Doogie Howser fame, right? And
Dr.
he's Dr. Horrible,
Horrible,
right?
I remember.
And it's
now.
A 3-part video blog.
Right.
And I hadn't heard about it until I read it in this article. And I don't really want to talk about sort of the blog itself, which I thought was kind of fun. And
I hear it's very funny.
And it was pretty entertaining, and you can tell, like, that guy is totally like a closeted musical composer. He totally just wants to do that, you know? It's actually fairly catchy, the tunes. And so I watched it, like, I think 4 o'clock in the morning. I woke up so early one day, and this long weekend is done. I'm like, I'll just watch it. And we'll try to get a link to it if it's still up.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
Because I think you pay for it now. It was free for a couple of months in July, for a couple of weeks, and it was on iTunes. You could buy it on iTunes.
That's right, yeah.
And then I think there's one website had it that you could, that's how I saw it. And they're thinking about a DVD release with a whole bunch of special features. And what I thought was fascinating was, I mean, again, to juxtapose what we talked about, sort of the old school and old stuff versus the really new way of thinking about how to do business in Hollywood, right? And you think about the
yeah.
writer's strike and all, everything was hinged around sort of online rights and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that this is a great example of kind of turning the regular business model in terms of the entertainment industry up on its head. Because, you know, it was sort of conceived and started to get done during the writer's strike, and none of the actors were going to get paid for it. It's just something they did on a very shoestring budget,
right.
If any budget at all. I can't remember the exact numbers, but tiny, tiny, tiny. And then they had to sort of squeeze it in because the writer's strike ended before they could start shooting it, and they had to just shoot it really quickly. And the idea was, you know, you do it for free now, you know, that, you know, it could be big payoffs later, right? And it just caught fire, like,
cool.
like crazy, and about the number of, you know, hundreds of thousands of hits on this blog, and now how many people have bought it online, And
because like $2 or something.
Yeah.
Like yeah.
And then eventually, they'll do a DVD release.
Cool.
And you can imagine, like, that's where the money, that's where you build
is.
The audience online, you give it for free, and then maybe it's like, it's 42 minutes in total, right? And maybe the DVD, it's like 50 minutes, 8 extra minutes of something
yeah.
new, and all
yeah.
these special features, and people who have probably saw it live or saw it for free will go out and buy it, you
yeah.
know? Like,
yeah.
I mean, of course people will end up downloading it too, right? But,
sure.
But I just thought it was a really fascinating example of the new Hollywood or the new business models that are out there. I mean, whether it's entertainment or anything else, how the online world is really changing. Like, I
Absolutely.
Thought that was really fascinating.
It is very.
And that's irrespective of the whole product itself, right?
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty funny.
Because we all know it has to kind of change. Like, there's not much more they can do with the existing models. And especially with those strikes coming up, it's basically they're like, you know, you gotta find out different ways for people to, you know, reap the rewards, but also, like, keep it interesting so people, you know, want to spark people to be more creative, and people have more that they'd like to go after, like search out, you know?
Well, and if you think about it, in the entertainment area, it really opens up the field. In the biggest sense, I mean, there's always these indie movements and indie films
yeah.
and indie stuff, but it opens up the ability to make a living and hopefully make a huge amount of cash without the big infrastructure of a studio of,
yeah.
of whatever,
That's
you
right.
know? And I thought that was really fascinating.
I think it's great.
It's sort of making it much more democratic.
Democratic? I mean, that's what they want, right? Yet they don't, but they say they do. So it's like, it makes it democratic anyway, and people gravitate towards that. No, I think that's really cool.
So that was kind of fascinating.
Yeah, right on.
But we're at the 30-minute mark. 31 minutes and 43 seconds, 44.
It just happens so fast. And I think next cast, episode 16, maybe we're always going on about conservatism. Let's talk about liberalism next time.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll
it's
raise
a date.
Couple points. All right. Well, hopefully you'll join us for that date, too.
Yes, and I will end by just saying a quick shout-out to Tara and the Langs
yes.
for setting up this whole beach thing yesterday. I mean, it was a simple email, and we got 100% turnout. We all made it out. And it made my weekend. It actually made my, like, 6 months, I swear.
It
was just
was
a lot of
fun.
It was great weather, great everything. And
yeah.
it was just enjoyable,
it
you know?
It really couldn't have been better.
And we got to sort of talk amongst the group and talk amongst the small little, you know, two or three people and just getting updates and
yeah.
trying to figure out our friend Steve's life. And, you know, it was,
yes.
It was just great. And I, you know, like, little golf clap to Tara.
Yeah, there we go.
You know,
and,
it was just so good.
Sometimes spontaneity reigns, you know? Like, it really is the way to go. And we just say, here's what we want to do. Here's the date, here's the time. Please join us. And it worked out great.
Exactly.
All right, well,
so there you go.
You'll sign off for us this time, Justin.
Oh, okay. Well, this has been Podcast 15. And join us next time where we'll talk about liberalism.
Among other things.
Among other things. So enjoy the summer, folks, or whatever season it is, whether time, Josie, you listen to this.
Yes, in the winter.
And whoever else listens to it at some point. And stay safe.
Yeah, and we'll be back in your earbuds shortly. Okay, bye.